Welcome to the Highbury Squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury Squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at GoonaGirl1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Highbury Squad. So I'm back from my travels across the Atlantic, cruising the ocean seas. Pleased to say tonight I've got my sister from another mister, Miss Sophie. Hey, baby.
Yo, 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 where you at?
Where am I at? Essex, where are you at?
I'm in Huntington Beach, baby. Huntington Beach.
Do you want to swap?
Sure, fine, why not? I love Essex.
I know.
There's a great Chinese restaurant on the Chigwell roundabout. They do the best prawn toast.
I don't know if that's there anymore, actually.
Be willing to swap my Friday night.
Anyway.
No way, closed?
I don't know. There's one on the Chigwell roundabout. I think you're in a different area to me. But anyway,
right,
moving
fine.
On swiftly. Unfortunately, Super Kev can't be with us tonight because this was a very impromptu podcast. That was a big word for me. But all the way from North Carolina, we've got my mate, the lunatic from the Gooners podcast, Mr. Michael. Hello, darling.
Hello, darling.
I knew you were going to do that.
It's lovely finally to make the airwaves of the Highbury Squad.
The Highbury Squad. Well, I did ask
Highbury.
I did ask you weeks ago that I was going to do a big summer pod with you and a few others, but it's just all been blown up all week because, listeners, for those that don't know and don't follow us on Twitter or the Gooners podcast, some very exciting things have happened this week. Whilst Arsenal are on the US tour, my sister and him have been in the forefront of everything. I actually don't know where to start. So I have to start with my girl. So I get back from holiday. All hell lets loose here because of the situation I found myself in with a bloody leak. And then I wake up to about 400 WhatsApps of you with every player in sight. You've spoken to this one. You've got a picture with that one. Me and Kev were like in awe of everything. So, Soph, take us back to, I think, was it the media or was it the training session you were first at?
So, by the way, when you talk about a leak and you're turning 50.
It's not my personal leak, no. And that leak has gone, well, hopefully been shut off now. And I'm not 50 for 11 days.
Sorry, I'm just getting sick here.
So sorry, I just...
You just had to go there, didn't you?
Oh my God.
Anyway, moving on. We're going to be professional for once. I'm back. We need to be professional.
Okay. So you're back and now we're professional. Amazing.
We're professionally mentally insane. Now I'm back.
Oh, good job Casey isn't here because I can only imagine what he would have said after that comment. But
I think
yes,
he would have spat his beer out, darling.
He probably would have.
Yeah.
So it was the training session. And here's what I love about the International Champions Cup. I may not be a proponent of Charlie Stilettano and some of the Agnelli family and what they're trying to do in terms of the larger picture with the European Super League, but I am a huge fan of what the International Champions Cup provides to fans across the world, and especially here in the United States. I've been covering the International Champions Cup for years now. I've seen Arsenal here a few good times, great clubs like Real Madrid, Manchester United. As you know, I put a curse on Tottenham last year, and did they win a trophy? No. So it was great to be part of that and to see the team train and where do you want to go? Because there's so much to talk about. Because
well, we need to combine it because Mike has as well. I mean, Mike's got the ultimate interview, isn't he, as well? I want to know, when you sat in the press conference with the media, because you're part of that out there, and you were facing Xhaka and Emery, what was it like?
So I felt very comfortable, as I always do. It was interesting to see that Xhaka was the person to sit by the side of Emery. I think that was a huge statement from the club, considering what's happening with Koscielny. And as you guys know, I asked the question and kind of brought up the elephant in the room. You know, there were media people from all the dailies in the UK, and it got to the last question, and Mark, the director of communications for Arsenal, was like, this is the last question. I'm like, no, this can't be the last question. No one's really addressed the Koscielny situation. And so I kind of stepped in and I said, hey, Mark, sorry, I have one more question. And I asked the Koscielny situation. And when you look at what is available to us from a leadership point of view.
They started dragging her out. They started dragging her out by the elbows. She's screaming. She's getting the question out as they drag her feet across the floor.
You crazy bastard. So when you think about who we have in the team and who we have in the squad, and I've questioned Xhaka as a potential captain, but let me tell you something. After walking away, and I don't know if Michael agree with me, I think Xhaka is one of those, when they talk about misunderstood people, misunderstood players, I truly believe that Xhaka is one of those. I walked away from this with a totally different perspective of him, with a totally different perspective of what his own belonging and own feeling in terms of what he means to the club. And I understand now why he was the guy that was sitting beside Emery. And when I asked the question about Koscielny, Emery was as candid as he could be. You know, he talked about how he tried to connect with Koscielny 3 times before they came out for the tour, that he talked to him about how he wants him to be part of the team, that how he wants him to be part of whatever he believes is the remainder of his future with the club. And I just thought that, you know, it's an interesting time when we are dangling with captains, from Ozil to Xhaka to obviously Ramsey, who's not there anymore. But my takeaway from it was, and we'll get to more of the dialogue and the conversation and the interaction with the players and what I felt about that. To me, it felt like of all the players there, other than maybe Sokratis, Xhaka felt like the most sensible choice. And I think some Arsenal fans may think I'm balmy. They may think I'm crazy. But to me, I feel like he makes the most sense at this point. The only other player that I would give the captaincy to, and I'll get to this later because of his behavior and what I saw, what he did and how he interacted with fans and what he meant afterwards in terms of the media mix zone, was our goalkeeper, Leno. I have to tell you something. I was so blown away by the professionalism and the interaction and the right, Mike, like he was absolutely amazing.
And someone that's going to be on the pitch for every game that, you know, that matters as well, and which is seemingly, I mean, when was the last time we had someone on the pitch regularly wearing the armband every single game, whether it was injury or transfer rumors or something like that? I mean, you got to go back quite a ways. So I couldn't agree more about Leno, but, you know, or about Xhaka. And he said there's going to be 3 to 5 captains again. And he, if I'm not mistaken, he rattled off a few names, including Xhaka, surprisingly Mesut Ozil, and a few more. And, you know, it seems like it's going to be, I think Hector's probably in that category as well. It's going to be an interesting transition.
Hector, I can see from his, listen, if you're talking about the love of a player, Amanda, and you, I know you love Bellerin, and I know that you've interacted with all the US fans, you have a great connection with them. If we're talking about a player who connects with fans, Bellerin is the one. I think it's because we are so connected to him through history. Like now Rambo, right? Who is there left who has that true history? And when he just showed up at the LA
Jenkinson,
right? At the Jenkinson, yeah. Yeah. When he showed up at the Fox and Hound, like the players, the fans were like posing outside and you saw the image. Like all of a sudden Bellerin just showed. I think that's why fans are connected and love this guy. They've stood through him through some of his peaks and troughs as well. And I have to say, another player who came off the pitch after a tough training session, and I had a quick word with him, and he had all the time in the world for the media was Rob Holding. I love this kid.
I'm so pleased to see him back. But can we just go back a second? You said about Bellerin.
Yeah, go on. Go.
Bellerin,
yeah.
I totally agree. I mean, sitting here at work and all of a sudden it's popping up that he jumps in a group of gooners who are taking a picture outside a pub was so lovely and so warm. And he's the only one, in a way, that I feel attached to at the club, because the fact that you two live there and I go to the games, but you two have been having this experience, which is phenomenal. And I've loved watching all the American fans and all the people I met when the American Gooners came over here. I've loved watching you all, because I take for granted that I live 30 minutes away and I go to every match and some away matches. And I hook up with Kevin sometimes in the pub. And to me, it's just normal life. But to watch what went on in the stadium, to see the atmosphere, you know, and that's why I put the tweet out saying, don't you dare ever criticise foreign gooners for their passion. They're more passionate than most of us over here. We take it for granted.
Well,
we
get some pretty, you know, when they do come here, which is not often, they really maximise the time that they're here. I mean, I know my friend Tom, who I think you've met, Amanda.
Yeah.
He just stayed an extra day in L.A. He's standing on Hermosa Beach sipping a drink. And happens to notice that Carl Jenkinson and Callum Chambers are just walking down the boardwalk. And he walks up to them. They're taking pictures. They're hanging out. I mean, he's, you know, and I'm jealous of that because I'm already in Charlotte. But, you know, they're just, I think this needs to happen more.
Yeah,
over there.
I do.
We can kind of shelve this until you're ready to talk about the bigger topic. But, there is some connecting, even though you're living within 50 kilometers, let's say, you're regularly able to go to games, both home and away.
They're not connected.
Exactly.
No, you lot look more connected than we do over here. That's for sure.
That's the point I'm trying to make, which is they need to make sure not to just overlook or take for granted the regularly paying customers that are not going to go to another team, but they're also feeling a little bit neglected and not part of this whole Arsenal experience these days. And I think that's a lot of what's really given the movement a cause. Before we move on, just the whole Xhaka thing, that was the point in the press conference where I had buckets of sweat pouring out of me. I was sitting in the corner with my dunce cap on, Soph, because I guess what has to be one of the biggest, like, things you never do in a press conference. My first press conference. Do you remember my phone going off?
Oh, no, that's hilarious. Oh,
yes.
I don't think it would be only he, you.
Well,
no, it was.
Know.
He actually apologized to Unai and Unai forgave him. So it was all good in the end. But yes,
I have a 6 p.m. alarm that goes off every day as part of my recent, diet program. And of course, the press conference began at 5:57 p.m. And I didn't even think to turn the alarm off. So
I'm sure he wouldn't be that upset.
But yeah, he wasn't upset, but I was just mortified.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But the thing
mortified.
Is, though, you two have experienced so much, so close to them all. We don't get anywhere near that. And I think that makes a massive difference as well. I think they need to be more connected over here. But, there's so much to talk about, and I don't want to waste talking about over here at the moment. It's just been amazing for you two. I mean, I've loved the pictures, the videos, everything. But, you know, Mike, we have to talk to you about this. I still don't know how you got into that conversation with Josh Kroenke. And knowing you as I do, the chutzpah of you, I don't even know where to begin. I want to know, where were you and what exactly happened?
Okay, well, it starts, I mean, it really wasn't a blagging type of situation, as some have made it out to be. And it certainly wasn't a fan.
Did you just ring your bell again?
Stop ringing your bell. This is not your podcast.
That's
go on.
Right. But it's close. You know, the fans closely identify with me, so I have to give them what they want. about a month before the tour, Andy comes up with the latest in a long line of crazy, funny ideas, which is let's apply for media credentials. I mean, Soph's used to that. I mean, you know, she's had great experience being a gooner. It's especially great. But, I mean, this is – the media experience is nothing new for you. For us, just the idea of actually, you know, having a, a, a lanyard around our neck and being able to walk around like big shots and have access was just too much to pass up. So we submitted the credentials request without ever expecting to even hear back from them. A week and a half before the event, we get credentialed for Denver, and then we get credentialed for the ICC games. And we're like, oh, you know, what do I do now? Because we actually have to show up for this. So the night of the Denver game, the two of us, Andy and myself, are in the press box. We look around, and it's really pretty empty. There was not a tremendous amount of press. And as far as overseas press was concerned, there were three media outlets, including John Cross, James Benge, and then Mark Irwin from that other newspaper that we won't talk about. And they're huddling around. And this is about 16 hours, 18 hours after the, you know, the We Care DU movement began, I guess, which was for us in Denver, it was something where we were kind of awoken at 4 o'clock in the morning with a ridiculous media furor and retweeting furor. Everyone was kind of looking for some sort of response. And to make a long story short, within about 20 minutes, we were told, show up here at halftime. Vin and I will come up and talk to you all and address some of the things in here. And what it ended up being was Josh Kroenke walking up, flanked by Vin I on one side and Raul on the other side, a couple other people from KSE and from Arsenal, and five quote unquote journalists, if you include the two of us, to basically have a Q&A with Josh. And it wasn't anything that was set up. It was just the people that happened to be there that wanted to talk to him. And he took some time for us.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, I watched when I found out that you had had this conversation, I watched you and Andy on YouTube for 20 minutes while I was having my nails done.
That was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I hadn't been to sleep for a day and a half.
Because I know you too, and I've been on your pod, and obviously I'm friends.
Were you having your nails done on the boat, like while you were in the middle of?
No, I was home. It was this week. I was home, darling, and I was sitting there. I was so proud. I could not believe that you had that had happened. That, you know, so I was sitting there in awe, like absolutely shocked that you were sitting with Josh Kroenke, and I'm listening to you two talk, and I'm like, oh my life, it's a one in a million chance, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we had also talked about, because Andy is in Denver, he lives there full time and actually supports a number of the local teams, which happen to be owned by Kroenke's sports entertainment. You know, we had said maybe we know somebody, he might know somebody that might know somebody that could try to get a message through to Josh that we want to have a sit down with him. And it went nowhere. And as far as I'm aware, that was also the case with some of the other media outlets, because they were talking about how they, you know, they never got called back when they wanted to set something up. So, you know, it was very surreal. The two of us are looking at each other and saying, at what point are they going to say, you know, you three go in here and the two of you, you know, go get a hot dog. But it just didn't happen. I mean, we were, whether intentionally by them to kind of diversify the audience into just not UK print media, or unintentionally because we happened to be standing there with media credentials with the rest of them. You know, we just were included in that session. And it's so funny to hear guys like Tom and the two of you, people who have been around the team regularly, who've been doing podcasts longer than we have and all of that stuff, there's so much amusement at how no one can believe that we pulled this
off. No.
And frankly, neither can we.
No, for the people that don't know you, and there might be a lot of people on our pod who listen to us that don't know you, you and Andy run the Gooners podcast, formerly known as Gooners in the USA, which is what I knew you as. And honestly, it's just like Laurel and Hardy, you two. It just says exactly right. I was so shocked that I was sitting in the nail salon. I was in like, I cannot believe you've got in there. It's like me getting in there. Honestly, it would be the funniest thing ever. Sophie, not so much.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison.
It is, because you're in the media, Sophie.
So it
would be different, wouldn't it? It'd be like me walking into a conversation.
Let me just say this.
Had you
been in Denver covering the game you would have been in that conversation as well. I mean, it wasn't
maybe.
It was all of the people that prepared the report.
Don't tell her that. Oh, my God.
It would have gone a little bit differently, right?
Yeah, that's true. You would have been dragged out kicking and screaming a second time.
After my kind of impromptu sidebar conversation with Vinaya, which we'll get to in LA. Yeah. But you know what I love about the fact that happened? I think it's really important for Arsenal fans because at the end of the day, we're all looking for honesty, authenticity and clarity, right? And as much as I respect the dailies and I understand their positioning and what they do on a daily basis. And look, I was standing there in the mix zone with some of the premier journalists from England, including Sky Sports and John Cross. And we were all waiting and they're still waiting, right? And we're talking about seasoned journalists here. But I think what's really important is that you guys were in the room and you heard what Josh said. And then you also read how it was interpreted in one particular publication. And Amanda, that's kind of where I wanted to kind of go with this question, in that in terms of what Josh said and what was projected in the media, Gunnar Girl 1969, I want Mike to just spend a couple minutes explaining that, because that became a bit of a point of contention, didn't it, Mike?
Yeah, and you know, we were very interested. It's no secret by now that the conversation was embargoed until 4 p.m. The following day, UK time, which turned out to be, I think, to basically time it exactly with the release of the open letter and the video on Arsenal.com. However, we were very interested in both in getting our stuff out, but also seeing how it was portrayed by the other three. And to be fair, most of the answers or most of the response from the other two publications was pretty fair. It was sound bites, not including the questions that were asked. But then, of course, the third, which, you know, is the most diabolical newspaper in the world for many other reasons already. The stories that they put out, including one that wasn't even from the guy that was in the room, it was probably, you know, a team hatchet job effort. Just, you start a story with wind up merchant Josh Kroenke and his five most insulting words. I'm in the room there for 20 minutes. He wasn't even in the least bit insulting. If you want to say he was smooth and polished and corporate, you could even say that, but I will suggest to you that if you listen to the audio, which we've now put out on our YouTube page, you can actually hear that he wasn't even that smooth and polished. He really did take some time to consider what he was saying, sometimes almost stuttering or buffering, as I like to call it, where he wanted to make sure he didn't misspeak because he didn't know what questions were going to be asked. So, The context, the audio, not just having it chopped up into a spun soundbite, was really our desire to just get the raw facts out there, because we don't have, you know, our podcast isn't even really about getting tons and tons of clicks and views either. I mean, we don't, you know, the two of us do it for fun. We both have jobs that are, you know, very comfortable, and we do it for fun. Any money that ever would come our way through the podcast goes directly to our charity anyway. So it's, you know, this wasn't about clicks, and it wasn't about clickbait. And we just knew that for everybody, you know, for the others that were in the room, they have a job to do in making their, you know, their users want to learn more and click. And it's just, it was really off-putting. So it was very important for us to put out a full transcript, so that it couldn't be chopped up and looked at as, you know, for any one thing that he said. And then even that we felt was being misinterpreted in a lot of ways, especially the comments about what is and isn't the job of the supporter. I was there listening and watching him as he said that. I know what he meant by that. And it wasn't telling people what they should and shouldn't do. It was saying what people should and shouldn't have to be worrying about.
Yeah,
and
the thing is,
that's all in the context.
Yeah, you did a brilliant job, and people need to go and read it. They need to see, is it on the Gunners podcast on Twitter? Is that where they can find it?
Yes, it's at the Gunners pod. We've been tweeting links out about it. If you want to read the transcript, you can go to our website, which is still www.goonersinusa.com /JK for Josh Kroenke. Then that way you can see the full transcript in writing. But if you go to our YouTube page, which you can get to just by going to GoonerSubscribe.com. You see how fancy we are?
I know.
If you do that or just search for Gooner's podcast on YouTube, there is a both a full 12-minute and then like 6 chopped-up chunks of the audio. And it's pretty clear. And, you know, I've already had dozens, if not hundreds of people say, you know, I read the newspaper reports. Then I looked at the transcript. Now hearing it, I'm seeing it in a very different light. And, you know, before anybody starts getting carried away, it is not my job or my intent to be a Kroenke apologist for Stan or for Josh. That's not who I am. That's not how I feel. But I do get bent out of shape sometimes when people just are so lazy to just go with the narrative and don't really bother to get all of the facts. Get all the facts, get all the context. And then if you want to, you know, if you want to spout off and say it's a bunch of BS, you have every right to do that.
Okay, so that's really interesting because that will lead me on to where Sophie's going next. Sophie, so you had a chat with Vinay.
I did. It was very impromptu. I have to say, I'll give him this. He stood there and he listened to what I had to say. We probably had a conversation for about 15 to 20 minutes. It was at the very beginning of the training at the Dignity Health Sports Arena, the home of the LA Galaxy, where legends like Beckham have played, Landon Donovan and Robbie Keane, who's considered a legend here in LA. And now Zlatan, Ibra, of course. Yes, yeah. Which I'm going to the game tonight, by the way. I cannot wait for the derby between LA Galaxy and LAFC. But then I have to say, he stood there and he listened. And one thing I will say, I was very candid with him. And Amanda, you and I know we're very authentic in our conversations, whether it's, you know, Kevin Campbell, Lee Dixon, Alan Smith, a journalist from the dailies or whoever. We just speak what we feel, but in a very respectful and authentic way. And you know, when I spoke to Vinay, I said to him, listen, I am part of the We Care, Don't You movement, my podcast, Amanda, KC, myself, we put our names to it right off the bat. We believe in it. We think that everybody involved and the hierarchy.
No one's asked us, by the way.
Well, you can.
No, hang on. No one wants
second
us.
Tier, second tier, baby, second tier. no, I'm just joking. So, you know, he needed to know that because I wanted to come from a place of, this is who we are and this is what we believe in, and you guys need to really truly understand. And I have to say, his response was very passionate and I felt very authentic when he kind of looked at me as if to say, I'm so fucking pissed off with the fact that people think that I don't care. And before he could even finish his sentence, Amanda, I looked at him and I said, you know what, Vinay? Then show it. Stop with the PR bullshit. Stop with the spinning. Stop with the rhetoric. Come out and talk to people. He goes, well, I've talked to the Daily Mail and the Mirror. And I was like, exactly the problem. Why are you not talking to the Highbury squad? Why are you not talking to Arseblog? Why are you not talking to the same old Arsenal? Why are you not talking to Gunnerblog, Goonaholic? Why are you not talking to the people that bust their chops every single week, who bleed for you, whether the podcast is based in the UK, the United States, Nigeria, Asia, Australia, South America? These are the people that bleed for the club every single day. The Daily Mail and the Daily Mirror, no disrespect to those journalists because I respect their hard work, but they are going to give you us headlines for clickbait material. They don't care. We care. You need to do a series of interviews with all of the Arsenal podcasts and be authentic. Don't leave it to the AST. Don't leave it to these quarterly meetings. Do not do that. The We Care, Don't You movement is real. We are not going anywhere. The people who have founded it are the godfathers of Arsenal Football Club fandom. And the people who have supported it are the people that buy your shirts, buy your tickets, whether they're in London or whether they're on a global level, Amanda. And that's exactly what I said to him. And the other thing, even though he said it riles me up when people say they don't care, I also said to him, I go, I'm going to give you two words. Here's your problem. And he's like, what's that? I go, Tottenham Hotspur. And he looked at me and his eyes opened up and he goes, I know, I know. I go, do you guys know? I said, when did this truly become a pandemic and a problem with the Gooner Nation since they started finishing above us? They got into the Champions League final the night. I looked him in the eyes and I said to him, they got into the Champions League final. Do you know what that means? And he stopped and he goes, we know, we know. And then I said, then show you know. Don't pacify us. I said, they are rising. They have risen. They're the shiny new toy with the brand new stadium where we were at 10 years ago. And where have we gone from that 10 years on? Granted, we've won FA Cups, but Arsenal Football Club is a Premier League prowess. It was United and Arsenal for so many years. And I let him have it. And I said these words to him exactly as I'm saying them to you. And I was honest. I came from, yes, a media perspective, but also from someone who loves Arsenal Football Club. And when I mentioned those two words, Tottenham Hotspur, that's when everything went. Do you not agree, Amanda? That's when everything escalated, where it became a bigger problem, when they started rising. And now it seems.
You asked me a question. Let me finish.
There's no power shift in my opinion, but they need to hear these things. They need to know.
This was the equivalent of throwing Lee Dixon up against the wall in his first North London derby and saying, we're not losing this game because this means too much. Someone needed to throw
exactly,
Josh Vinay and Raul up against a wall. And I think you did a pretty good job of throwing him, figuratively speaking, up against a wall.
Yeah, but I think what Sophie's trying to allude to, and I get it all. I think that was the icing on the cake, but I think it's been coming a few years before that. That's for sure. I think everything that happened with our previous manager, how it all ended, everything, you know, they're very detached from the fans. I don't think they get it. I'm not going to sit here and make a blanket statement that there's no one on the board that really cares, because I don't know that for a fact. But we need some Arsenal people on that board. And it was a great conversation, Soph. You know, brilliant.
Amanda, what else I said to him? One more thing, babe, all right? I don't mean to cut you off. I said to him, I said, how dare Josh Kroenke? I said this to him face to face, looked him in the eyes. I go, how dare Josh Kroenke show up to an Arsenal training in an LA Rams shirt? What were you fucking thinking? And he said, oh, he just got off a plane. I go, wrong again. Have an Arsenal shirt ready for him to put on when he shows up. It's the little things.
Yeah.
It's the small things. It's those tiny moments that mean everything. That was like an ad for the Rams. You are the owner of Arsenal Football Club and you are showing up to training.
It was
put
awful.
On an Arsenal
awful
shirt.
Optics. It was awful optics. It was, to be fair, it was actually not an Arsenal training. It was a charity event jointly between the Rams and Arsenal.
Sorry,
however,
yes. Corrected.
However,
absolutely corrected. Thank you, Mike.
However, which will piss off a group of people more? The owner wearing an Arsenal jersey and pissing off Los Angeles Rams fans, or the owner of Arsenal wearing a Los Angeles Rams jersey in a time where they have been accused of caring about the Rams and caring little about Arsenal? What, you know, who's in charge of the optics there and making sure that that picture doesn't happen?
This moment's about Arsenal, isn't it?
Yeah,
this moment's about Arsenal. This time's about Arsenal. Arsenal.
I can't imagine a single LA Rams fan being upset.
Right. That's what I was
going
to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we arranged the game with the Colorado Rapids, another Kroenke owned team. I mean, come on, this is Arsenal's time here in the US.
I know, but you've got to understand something, Soph. You're an English girl living in America. Michael is American and I'm English, yeah? Josh Kroenke turning up with a top on.
Amanda. No,
right, hold on.
This is the problem.
Can I speak? Thank you. To me, it's not a massive deal because I know what the family think of Arsenal. When it kicked off on social media, people were arguing and going, oh, for God's sake, it's only a top. But I know what you're saying about the PR side, and it is very important, blah, blah, blah. What's more important is that we start to buy players, defenders. I'm not worried about him wearing a top, if I'm really honest. I'm worried about what he's doing with our club. That's more important to me than that. So let's just move on slightly. Because
also, he did tell us in the interview that he was wearing Arsenal underwear that day.
Yeah, but that doesn't... That's not...
And he was wearing an Arsenal condom, even though he was wearing an LA Rams
Michael,
top, so.
Stop it. Sorry. We're not on your podcast, okay? We are not on your podcast. So, yeah, let's just move on a little bit. Michael, I want you to talk about the charity that you are... absolutely spearheading. Tell us all about it.
Well, thank you. This is a third year of us doing fundraising, and it's just as each year we've been fortunate enough to have some increasing footprint, I guess, in the Gooner world as far as podcasts are concerned. I've really started to want to spend a little bit more time each year rather than just 4 to 6 weeks, do a couple of months of fundraising for Gooners versus Cancer. It's a charity that is raising money directly for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And to me, it's an important cause personally because my father passed away 9 years ago, way too young, from a series of episodes of leukemia that finally took his life. And I know so many people that who have had the same experience with their family or their friends. It's an awful disease, and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does really good work to help try to find a cure as well as support families who are suffering from it, currently. So we are raising money in a variety of different ways. We do have a website, goonersversuscancer.com. And it explains a little bit about the story and about the history and gives you the ability to donate directly. For those of you who live in the States, it's a tax deductible donation, which helps a little bit. We've been doing auctions. In each of the cities, except for LA, because that was too quick, but in Denver, Charlotte, and again, coming up in Washington, we've been doing fundraising, through a raffle that is collecting money to ultimately raffle off one for each city signed retro jersey by Alan Smith. Alan has been incredibly generous both last year and this year with his personal time and effort to help us get really valuable items that mean a lot. And we raised over $1,200 in Denver in that raffle. In about 2 hours, we'll be starting the 2-day raffle in Charlotte. And then we move on to DC, and it's just been a great experience. It feels good, Amanda, to do things for charity. And when you can tie in the passion of the club that you love with the generosity that Gooners tend to have in spades, good things can happen. So we're going to smash our goal of fundraising this year and start to make a big difference. So I appreciate you letting me bring that up for a minute.
Oh, that's lovely. So if anyone wants to donate, please go and see that page. That's for
and
sure.
And we submitted ourselves to some embarrassment, in the name of charity. We have an auction site called GoonerAuction.com. And one of the things on the auction site, if I could just make a quick plug, was if someone bid $50, Andy and I would do a video penalty shootout.
Yeah.
While we were in Denver, and of course we got the bid for that. We did the shootout. It was the most embarrassing, funny, silly, ridiculous thing. You got to see me toe poking penalties into the net with my like dress shoes, basically. But it was fun, and you can find that on our YouTube page as well. But any help that we can get, any amount that anyone could donate. Is lovely. So thanks again.
Fantastic for doing it, Mike. Brilliant. Right, two things that I just want to talk about. First thing is, it was lovely to see some of the youngsters play. And I know, Sophie, you've got a little thing you want to talk about on this.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things about Arsenal and we get lost in the moment and the time with our first team. And, there's a reason why Freddie Ljungberg has been escalated as an assistant to Unai Emery. And I think that's because of some of our financial challenges. We need to really discover and figure out, Amanda, how we're going to use some of the younger players. And I think in that Bayern Munich game, and I know it's only preseason, right? And I know it's just, it's not super competitive football. But yet when you see, you know, young players, like Willock playing the midfield, and, you know, you see Eddie, coming in and busting his balls, and Saka, you know, I John Jules even. Do you agree, Mike? I feel like when those guys got their opportunities, whether it was in Denver or in LA, they hustled, they fought, they played. And yes, it's preseason.
Yeah.
But they're sure that they want it.
They seem to be taking their opportunities more than the kids have done in past years. I mean, that goal, I think it was the second goal in Denver by the unpronounceable, I don't know his last name off the top of my head, Olan Tanyu or something like that. I mean, it was just phenomenal. I think it opened a lot of eyes. That's the type of thing that gets you a spot on the bench in an early Europa League stage game.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think that when we look at, I look and say, take this in the spirit of which I'm saying it, right? But there was a time in 1992 when an Alan Hansen said, you can't win the league with kids. And we're not going to win the league with these kids. We're nowhere near where Sir Alex Ferguson's team was in 92, but he believed in those kids. And Freddie gave Emery certain tips about certain players that Emery had no idea about. And he was able to escalate and elevate Emery's thinking in terms of what could work or not work for the first team because of Freddie's experience, you know, with that youth. And without that, maybe we wouldn't have seen some of this talent be given these opportunities. So I have to commend the club in this regard, in that you identify your issues financially, you rectify them at a coaching level, you bring in someone who is a legend of the club and people love, and who understands and has worked with the youth at a top. And Amanda, I think that is going to go a long way for us this season. Mm. And I do believe that there's going to come a time where we're going to see a lot of these kids be given a shot.
Well, you know what? Sorry, go on, Mike.
Can I just jump in? Sorry, I'm the king interrupter. I think it's important that there be the right mix and have kids that are, I mean, even at the possible detriment to a point here and a point there in the standings, because what we're not doing that other teams are doing is selling well. And, you know, we basically just let these guys rot in the U23 sometimes, to the point where, I mean, use, you know, Serge Gnabry as an example, I suppose, maybe not the best example, but and these kids never get to the point where they have value.
We let him go. We let him go.
We let him go for nothing.
And without Freddie, Unai would never have known about Robbie Burton.
Right.
And who came on and had like a really good, like, he would never have known about Robbie Burton. And that is literally what even Frank Lampard and Jody Morris are doing and have to do at Chelsea, because they are suffering a little bit from the same, differently a little bit, but in the transfer market, they have the ban. They're having to focus on their youth. And I think the English game needs this. Like, we have forgetting about the academy, the younger players. And Arsenal have a lot of talent. Listen, I'm not saying we're going to win things and we're going to do whatever, but we have a really good group that we've let go in the past. You bring up Serge, and I asked Niko Kovac about that, didn't I, in the press conference?
Yes, he did.
Like, that was one that got away from us. Like, how did we let him get away? And Amanda, I think what we're trying to say is, like, we can't keep doing that as a club. We've got a lot of talent. We've got to keep him.
Yeah,
and there are others.
It would be nice. Hold on a second, Mike. It would be nice. Yeah, you shut up for a second. It would be nice if we actually saw this youth progress and not be sold off. I mean, for instance, Gnabry. I'm not being funny. I mean, I don't understand why he wasn't kept and played. I think he would have been a world-class player. But you two, I have to move on just slightly, okay, to something that's been very, very big this week, actually. And it's the We Care to You campaign. Now, we were asked to join this, I don't know, 10 days ago. I didn't realise it was going to go, it was escalating like this, and it's fantastic. And big shout out to everyone that's had a massive hand in this, and the people that have supported it as well, because as far as I'm aware, there are over 100,000 signatures now of people that want to be involved. and agree with it. And basically, I'm not sure if, unless you've lived under a rock for the last week, you don't know about it, but it literally is a letter to the Cronkays explaining how fans feel, how we feel disconnected, how we're not happy with a lot of things that have gone on. And, you know, it was interesting because obviously then, Mike, that leads on to that conversation with Cronkay with you. So it was amazing that he actually recognised it and discussed it. Whether I believe what he says, whether I didn't really particularly like the statement he put out, but I'm more of a words, more of an action than a words girl. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But Soph, how did you feel being involved in that?
I loved it. Number one, I was honoured that we were asked to be part of the initial group that put our names to the letter. Total respect for the organisers and all of the Arsenal influencers, Amanda. And, you know, people may poo-poo it and all that stuff, but, you know, you have an amazing following on Twitter and that people gravitate to you and have been gravitating to you for a number of years. And, you know, your following has continued to grow. And as a woman, especially with a voice within the Arsenal community, I don't think that should go unsaid. And part of the reason why the Highbury squad were invited to participate is because of you and what you've been doing and the relationships that you have with a lot of these key informers as well. And obviously we have Kevin Campbell, who's an amazing guy, who's been part of our team for the last season and will continue to be going forward. And, you know, this is what it's about. This is what the Arsenal community is about. It's about people who care. It's about people who have been associated with the club for years. Amanda was sitting in the stands in, dare I say, the late 70s as a young girl with her dad when we were shit.
Yeah.
You know, before the George Graham years, absolute dross, right? And she's seen the elevation and the evolution of the club. And she's part of a group of people, new, old, millennial, Generation X, baby boomers, who love the club. And the We Care, Don't You movement, I think the reason why there's over 100,000 signatures right now and why people have put their names to this is because other than any other movement to try and move Arsenal forward, Amanda, it's been done with class. And to be involved in this and to be part of it and to have been asked to be part of it, I'm very proud. And, you know, being a voice here in the United States, but also through some of the things I do, you know, on TalkSport, and we get a lot of fans that listen to us around the world. I'm proud to be part of it. And we're not asking for a revolution. We're just asking for an evolution. Nothing more, nothing less.
Very true. And I mean, as I said and started off saying this, you're more connected in the last week or so, you two, and the fans out there than I am over here. And not only me. And it's because, you know, yes, I do know quite a few of the people that have done the movement and started this alliance or whatever you want to call it. But it was nice that the Highbury squad were asked and we were very happy to put our name to it. And you know what? It's not about being famous or any of that rubbish. It is just wanting the best for our club, wanting to know what direction it's going in and hopefully listening to some fans. I don't see the problem with them listening to some fans. I really don't. I'm off to the AST meeting with, I think it's Vinaya, on this Thursday, next Thursday, sorry. So that'll be interesting. That'll obviously, there'll be the We Care, Don't You, and there'll be a lot of people there from that. So
tell him I said hi.
Yeah, I'll say that. I won't even get near him. That's for sure. But I'm looking forward to that conversation. But we need to come to a close. But you two just sound like you've had the best time. The fact that you met each other as well and you've had a brilliant time. I loved all the photos. Loved it all. And I'm really thrilled for all of you. I really am. And I mean, there's a lot more other American fans that I've been chatting to that, you know, I've met some of the players. Just fantastic. Honestly, really, really pleased. Michael.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of people on the ground that listened. Sorry, I think we cut out here, but there were, because we're all on, forgive us, guys, because we all are on location. It's the summer, so we're in very different places. So please forgive us if there's any audio in and outs today. But from Tiffany at the Gooner Girls, Jeff, you know, Dave, Mike, all these guys, they are traveling around the country following the Arsenal, and they're doing it on their own dime. All right. And this has to be recognized. These are people that have jobs and families, but they also love the club. And I think that's part of the We Care, Don't You movement. You know, it's hard-earned dollars being put into shirts. And this is what I said when I asked the Koscielny question. Our own club captain couldn't be asked to come to the United States, but here are all these fans, all these people buying shirts, buying tickets. People like Amanda spending thousands of dollars on her season ticket. And we're just asking for a little bit of transparency in return.
And getting manicures and getting her nails done. I mean, it's you know, painted red of all.
Listen, girl deserves to go on a cruise, Mike. Don't knock her. I mean, she's in love. Come on now.
Shut up. Enough. You have to do it every time, don't you, Miss Sophie?
Get in.
I'm just totally thrown now to what I was going to say, but yes, we need some more transparency. But you know what? I was just going to go back to that. That's what I was going to say. The fact that Mike and everybody is spending a lot of money out there, I personally don't think the Cronkies give two hoots. I really don't. I don't think it matters to them what any fans around the world do. They are not Arsenal fans. I'm sorry. They're not. They own a business that they need to run properly. And this is why this, I don't know what you want to call them, an alliance, a movement, whatever it is, has literally been born. Because the people in this alliance and everyone that signed it are Arsenal fans. And what we want is what's best for the club. It's not about having one opinion better than the others. At the end of the day, we want to win everything and be successful. That's it. That you don't need any more than that, okay? Or at least try. I don't feel like that was happening. I want to give Emery a massive chance this season, and let's hope that we do sign some more players. But we do have to end it. So, Michael, your first attempt on the Highbury squad, have you enjoyed it?
I have. I'm tingling all over right now, and now I got to go from this high to the low of. You know, hanging out at a pub with about 400 Arsenal supporters and, you know.
Oh, please send them our love. I love them.
I will.
All. I cannot wait. One day I'm going to come over to America and I'm going to come to Goonagraw and I'm just going to love it. Because when I came to New York, I watched Arsenal Crystal Palace, where you were at Palace, which was the weirdest thing, that fateful night. And I was in O'Hanlon's in New York with a few Arsenal fans, and it was just brilliant. I loved it. Obviously not the match, and I did leave with 15 minutes to go because it was the worst ever. But I'd love to do that again. And I've always been a big advocate for fans around the world. I don't care where you're from. If you love Arsenal, you love Arsenal. I'm not interested. Right. So thank you, Michael. Really appreciate you coming on. I know.
Thanks for having me.
It's in the middle of the day, and you must have had the most amazing week anyway. And thank you again. And Soph, it's been lovely to come back because I haven't been on a pod for a couple of months, I don't think. So,
you know what? I've missed you.
Oh, you missed me bossing you around.
Can I just say something? I have missed you bossing me around. And I'm just wondering how Mike's going to survive the press conference without me. But I'm sure he'll make do. And I just wanted to say it was great to meet Arseblog in person too, who's a great friend of the show.
Arseblog.
You're going to have to feed me your questions so that I know what to say.
I'll do that. I'll do that like in a true kind of, you know, movie style where I feed you stuff that you tell the government, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And then I also just wanted to say to Christian Nyeri and the Bayern Munich team and the Bayern Munich supporters clubs and the Bayern Munich US media team here, amazing people, amazing human beings, like the camaraderie, the interaction, they were absolutely super. Their PR team was amazing. I was super impressed with Thomas Müller stopping afterwards and talking to people as well. And Amanda, I just wanted to say, because me and Mike have kind of hogged the mic and you've done a great job moderating and hosting us, but I just wanted for you in a nutshell to tell us kind of your opinion and what your thoughts are with all the takeaways of all the stuff we've posted and all the things we've talked about. When you think about Arsenal and this preseason and going into the new season after coming off a 2-week love cruise, you know, like what do you think?
Love boat.
I was going to say that. Love boat.
I love that.
We missed you. Come on. I mean, Kate. Yay, KC would be ringing the bell that he hates.
Oh, God. Right, shut up about my Love Boat cruise or whatever. I've loved every picture, and I was showing him pictures and stuff as well, and it was just so exciting. I'm really excited for you all. I really am, really am. I'm jealous because I wanted to come to LA. If it wasn't my 50th and I hadn't booked a holiday, I would have been out there for all of this. I'd have loved it, but unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. But I'm back, we're back, and hopefully, Kev will be with us on the next pod. And Mike, you definitely have to join us again, definitely with Andy as well. And really, just brilliant. I'm pleased for you all. And enjoy it, Mike, and let us know how you get on at the press conference. And do me a favour, ask them never to ever put pink in that shop again, because we don't wear pink. Although we're female, we wear red and white or yellow and blue. We're not interested in pink. I've said.
Do you think you and I, Emery's in charge of that?
I said it to Gazidis a few years ago.
Green. And you don't like the mint green.
Oh,
either,
don't even
do you,
go there. The kit this year is phenomenal. I don't even know which one to buy, honestly. And I haven't bought a top for years. I love all the tops. Anyway,
I'll buy you one for your birthday. Which one do you want? And then you'll buy the other one.
I'll leave it to you. I haven't got anything yet, so I'll leave it all to you.
Just tell me what you want on the back of your shirt.
Tell me what you want, what you really want. Well, if I Princess Gooner, I'll get slaughtered.
Stark. She might want Stark on the back of it.
I'll give you Stark. Shut up. Right. Right, okay, let's just be a bit refreshing. Thank you all for listening. Ignore these two. Thank you all for listening. There has been a few sound issues, but you'll have to just bear with us and try and listen to it. We're going to hopefully have our little editor, Rick, who Mike should be meeting soon, iron out a few issues for us. But we'll be back hopefully next week with our mate Kev. And as always, Michael, thank you so much. Sophie, lovely to be back. Always Arsenal. Okay, Rick, let's start from here. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Highbury Squad. Yes, I'm back. Woohoo! No, I don't like that one because I was looking at something outside. Right. Sorry, Rick.
How many beers are you going to make me buy, Rick?
I've never done that before, ever.
It's good. Rick will love it. He knows a man.
And he's so used well. To me. Right, shush. I've got to concentrate because I'm being thrown here because I got him on here. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so tired. It's been such a shit week. Right, let's go.
Mute yourself, Mike. Mute yourself, Mike. There's a vibrate, yeah.
He's going to be so scared, isn't he? Right. This is it now, Rick. I promise it'll be fine. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Highbury Squad. So I'm back from my travels across the Atlantic, cruising the ocean seas.